there, dear listener. I'm Christian Corley. You are listening to another podcast with a K, or to give it its proper new title, the Casterbras Doctor Who podcast with a K. I have recently returned from WarpCon, and it was an absolutely superb day for pretty much everyone who attended, I'm pleased to say. We, James McLean and myself, that is, held our very first live podcast at 11 a.m. in the Tiger Tiger Bar in the Printworks at Manchester on Sunday morning. And if you missed it live on Facebook, you weren't able to attend, or even if you did both of those, or either of those things, and you want to listen back, here it is now, reproduced for you. The very first Casterbras Doctor Who podcast with a K, live.
Again, thank you for joining us. We've got a bit of a vague kind of thing to go through. We've got a few chats. I'll bring you into it as well. There is possibility that someone might join us, but we don't know who it is yet. So, you know, it could be Paul McGann, it could be Martin McGann. No. it could be anyone. Literally, couldn't it?
It could, yeah.
It could be Gareth Kamara. So that's it. Yeah, so we're doing this live. We're on Facebook at the moment. We'll be issuing this as a podcast a few days' time, so you can listen to it. I don't know, maybe we should do some kind of fun We're Live podcast. We're live, everybody!
Hey.
Thank you! hello to everyone on Facebook. You can watch this now. We won't be able to interact with you because we're over here and you're over there. Okay, sorry about that. So, everyone having a good time so far?
Yeah.
Everyone know what we're going to see today?
Yeah, I like it,
bro. Well, there's a lot of good stuff on. At the moment, you've come to see us for some reason.
No, you don't do that.
But later on, you can see James on the Troughton stage, which is beer colour. James will be talking to...
For the pinch play.
Indeed.
What's all about TARDISes, about TARDIS consoles, which is... kind of interesting, because one of the things about this event, which the organisers were very keen on, which Gareth said in the podcast last week, is the idea of trying to find sort of, actually, I don't know if he did say in the podcast, I think he might have said it after,
yeah.
Find different ways of trying to find, of getting new stuff out of people who have talked about Doctor Who a lot. And we kind of thought that Philip would be really interesting to talk to about TARDIS consoles, because it's not something people talk to Philip about generally. So, hopefully that'll be interesting. Like this, I mean, you don't tend to do live podcasts at conventions, do you?
No, I've never done it before.
No.
I'm sure it was not.
I do feel like it's a different concept here. It's quite uncomfortable.
Is it a little bit?
It's a little uncomfortable. I'm used to sitting in a room staring at a wall or playing a game as you're talking.
Or my avatar.
Yes, it is very weird. We'll get used to it, so bear with me if I seem a little...
Yes, now...
Shy.
I don't know if you know, but Doctor Who's going to be on a Sunday. Yeah, but you might know. So what we were wondering was, just get us kicked off and started, was is this the right date of the week for Doctor Who? Would Monday or Tuesday be better? Would Wednesday opposite Coronation Street be better? But ultimately, is it a good move?
Hands up. I do teach, so it's a bit of a... Hands up, people are keen on Sunday for Doctor Who. Just out of interest, who's keen on the idea? Does anyone think it's possible? So about 50%, maybe, 50% room? People prefer Saturday? Okay, here's a better question. Should it stay on Saturday? No, okay, yeah, so that's interesting. There's a sort of quite a flex, there's a flexibility running here. People are not, I like that, okay.
Yeah. I think,
what about you?
Because
you're a little more traditionalist than
I am more traditionalist, I think. Just feel like there's a lot of change for the sake of change at the moment.
We don't know why though. I mean, we're guessing it's to do with
Strictly
or whatever.
Things like that. Yeah. I do feel as though it's maybe a lack of confidence as well.
I don't know. I mean,
there's no way of knowing. Until we see it, there's no way of knowing.
I mean, I'm very, very wary that television is changing massively.
Yes.
And I think there's a tendency to think, well, it's been on Saturday before, it's always been on Saturday, why is it not on Saturday but now? We have a very different change in the way we watch, how we view television, mm-hmm. how television is made, how many channels are available. And I think there might be an adaptation here going on. factual entertainment, you know, things like Strictly. Mm. They're very good for broadcasters. They can rely on that because it's something you don't tend to have on VODs. You know, VODs do not really work around factual entertainment, that sort of thing, that sort of fun live events. So you can see why the BBC is focusing on that as being almost like their selling point, and maybe drama does get pushed a bit.
Yeah.
But maybe that's because that's the way people are watching it.
Maybe. I do think that's possibly an interesting question to throw open to our listener. I do think if it's moving to Sunday, then maybe if that's trying to do something different, maybe moving to Sunday isn't the answer. Maybe the answer is actually just box setting it.
Who likes the idea of box setting it? No one.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's interesting because a lot of people watch box sets and they'll binge watch a series over a weekend.
Okay.
Don't they?
I thought they would.
Did you?
I was really expecting the series to be box
setting,
and it's not.
Oh, interesting.
Well, they did it with Class, didn't they?
So just, I mean, again, raise your hand or if anyone has an idea, I can run out and you bring the mic to you. Does anyone feel that, is it a traditional thing? Is it a live thing? Do you like to watch it with families? What is it about Doctor Who that you watch, how you watch it? Hang on, I'm going to come over and you can actually.
I think Doctor Who is probably the only programme I would ever watch live. I hardly ever watch live TV anymore, but I would watch Doctor Who live on a Saturday night. With a glass of wine. It's like a pause in life.
So on Sunday?
You don't mess with.
No.
So would you do that on Sunday as well? Would you be able to look happy?
I don't drink wine on a Sunday. It's work the colour.
Okay. No, this is a good
thing. Doctor Who Series 11 causing drinking issues across the country. This is quite important.
The thing is, it almost feels like, because Saturday night is the prime time slot.
Mm-hmm.
So you have your first woman doctor, and they move it away from the prime time slot.
Mm-hmm.
What does that say?
It's an interesting point.
Ooh, that's an interesting question. Yeah, sure.
So, I was talking about this the other day, and for me, Saturday night, what you say, it's probably that night that you'll truly relax because you haven't got school or work the next day. You can drink as much wine as you like, and you can go to Sunday. So, Doctor Who feels right for that time, particularly for the family audience, because on a Sunday, you get ready for school the next day, you'll do that homework. Kind of thing. It just doesn't feel right.
I think it definitely depends on what your family or life setup is. I think that's definitely
how much you drink.
Sorry?
How much you drink.
And how much you drink indeed, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not much, is it? No,
yeah.
No, great.
No,
not
too.
Okay.
But there was someone I saw on the internet saying that they didn't like it because they had children and on Sunday they had a big dinner with their kids. And then they got their kids ready for school early, so you know it wasn't good for them and their families. So I think you're right. I think Sunday. But then you said, you know, could you go back to the 80s and do this like Monday or Wednesday?
I think Saturday nights worked so much, so well over the years. Obviously, you haven't done it the entire time. I mean, we've had those weekdays, and then we've got Sunday, and we've had the various days that have been Sundays, have been Christmas days, and my holidays days. But if Doctor Who is aiming at a particular demographic, which it should be, under 10s, 7 to 10s and beyond. I mean, my children, they're 7 now, they won't be watching Doctor Who on a Sunday night if it's going out later than 7 o'clock. So, I mean, again, we've got iPlayer and stuff, they could watch it Monday morning, before school maybe, not a great idea, maybe after school on Monday, but at the same time, it's like, they should be talking about it the next day of school, shouldn't they? So,
yeah, no, I think it's interesting. It's going to be something we have to see how it plays out. But it was a surprise. I wasn't expecting Sunday. I was thinking it'd be the Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Shall we move on to the next item?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to have to get up this. You don't know what it is, do you? I'm going to have to just walk around here and hope that this works.
If it doesn't work, it's going to be very interesting short commentary.
Oh, is this the Dimensions in Time?
Yes, it is, hopefully.
I'm giving it away. Yeah, we thought, and again, I will perhaps stand up and let people talk about this. We're going to run it at 1.5 speed, so it's going to be running a little fast.
Or
so,
are we?
Oh, are we? Do you mean you don't know how? I mean, Dimensions in Time. Is anyone a fan of Dimensions in Time? Does everyone remember Dimensions in Time? Yeah. I didn't see any hands come up. I'm sure that's obviously because you didn't hear me. Dimensions in Time, classic multi-doctor story.
I'm
Jonathan. Children in need. Children in need. So, okay, it's for charities. Is that anyone? No, no, no one's going to put their hand up for.
I've watched it drunk,
it's
better.
You've watched it drunk?
In the last
day, I've watched
it in
death. Drunk. Drunk, good.
Unfortunately, due to a fake, a freak sinking incident, we don't actually have dimensions in time.
No! I really wanted dimensions in time.
Dimensions in time? Just to clarify, because all of us haven't seen it.
Sorry, what? What is it?
Oh, dimensions in time. It's really, as you can see, very popular. A very popular a charity, which, yes, it was done for children in need. It was done in the middle of Noel's house party. Noel Edmonds from... Deal or No Deal is the best, yeah. Deal or No Deal. Yes, it was John Nathan Turner's... Could you call it his swan song in the end? Was it a combination of everything that he'd become?
Well... Weren't they Pearl Years and Tom Baker Years? Weren't they after Tom Baker Years? Weren't they not after that? Or late before that?
What, do you think Dimension in Time was something that sort of that brought the classics of the Tom Baker Years? And the...
Yeah, because
I'm not sure where you're going.
I'm just thinking maybe he would prefer those video collections to be a swan song rather than Dimensions in Time.
Well, John Nathan, I don't know. I mean, I like Dimensions in Time. I think. Me and Christian actually contributed. There was a book that. Elton Townsend Jones put out a charity last year called, what was it called again? Christian? Elton's book? Hoogly. Which we had, every story of Doctor Who had a small 200-word little tale which we'd have to write. And I wrote one on Dimensions in Time. Gareth, we haven't got Dimensions in Time.
Have we not?
They all wanted to watch it.
We may have it.
Actually,
And Dimensions in Time was, to me, I wrote my story in this book was on Dimensions in Time.
Big Ronker.
Was it the Big Ronker?
It was, I love this. I think the only thing with Dimensions in Time is you've got to find a way of making it realistic, or stick within Doctor Who.
So Jack, can you remember what the discontinuity guy said about it? It sets it in a really weird time.
Only watch when drunk.
That's it. It's a lot about drinking at the moment. That's a third, fourth drinking. And what I like the idea is, I put in my head, what about Dimensions in Time? What's about the Rani thing? Because the idea is that the Doctor is trapped in, multiple versions of the Doctor are trapped in EastEnders.
Yes.
So you have EastEnders cast jumping between time zones and EastEnders. And multiple Doctors in this really weird, madcap 15-minute story. No one really knows what's going on, you can quite tell.
In 3D as well.
And it was in 3D, yes, it was in 3D. And that didn't help it. So you have the Doctor trapped in multiple incarnations and multiple companions who would sort of jump as if they were incarnations as well between different characters, different actresses and actors. And it was all set in EastEnders. And let's break out. And I thought perhaps you could make that work in Doctor Who if you thought of it as, if you go back to the Big Meat series season with the block transfer computation, I thought, wouldn't it be kind of funny if Rani was doing that and sort of took it from Ace's mind and took the EastEnders and created like a block transfer world? And as soon as you do that, suddenly Dimensions in Time is kind of watchable because you're no longer thinking this is going to be EastEnders. This is like Ace's memory of EastEnders being mapped onto a block transfer virtual world. And suddenly it becomes kind of fun. And am I padding this out?
You did very well.
And I think as soon as you do that, it becomes quite an interesting thing to watch, because you can actually sit back and go, this isn't meant for EastEnders, this is a virtual reality. And it's kind of nice to include it, because you have a lot of companions in there that you'll never see again, really, within the show. I mean, Victoria's in there, isn't she, from Patrick Troughton's era? Who else is in there you don't really ever see again?
Leela?
Caroline Johnson.
Caroline Johnson, absolutely, yeah, Liz Shaw, Leela. You even have that moment on television, the only moment you have, where you have Colin Baker's Doctor with a Brigadier. So you really want to keep that in canon. You want to have it there. So you've got to find a reason. So when I wrote this 200-word story, that was my thing. How do I make this canon? I thought, this is a block transfer trap by the Rani, based around Ace's memory of EastEnders, so it's kind of funky, it's kind of rubbish. And it sort of works. So we're going to try and watch it, are we? Are you, Christian, going to?
No, this is very frustrating. I've downloaded it and I don't seem to be able to access it. Because for seeing the exact problem, that I won't be able to get online.
You're breaking my heart.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
You're breaking my heart because I picked it up.
I can hear the little violins playing as
I
well.
I picked it up, so I was kind of hoping we'd have it because it's being picked up.
Can I interrupt with some breaking news?
Sure.
My friend Ian was meant to be here today instead of me.
Okay.
He works for the BBC.
Yeah.
He has a secondment for 2 months in Glasgow, which is why he's not here and I am.
Okay.
He sat reading the newspapers in a coffee shop, and the table next to it is Peter Capaldi. Oh.
Wow.
Wow.
So how did you find this out?
Sydney.
Tweet back.
Can he send us a picture? Well, no, I think he's a bit... I've asked if he can get a selfie with him in the background.
So we can't get all your time on the podcast.
That would be tempting.
That would be amazing.
Do you think he could?
I don't know if he will. He said he's a big sweaty nerd and he doesn't cool up.
Ask him. You could ask him. You could phone him and ask him and just say, hey, doing a live thing, Doctor Who thing. Just see, because it's kind of weird. It feels like an opportunity that got to grasp this, because it's just so bizarre. So, yeah, if people didn't hear that, because I don't know if this is recording or anyone's watching.
I'm not.
No, you're not. We have a situation. What's your name?
Nicola.
So, Ian would have been here,
yeah.
But he's not. He's in a cafe in Scotland, and he just happens to Peter Capaldi's on a...
Table
nearby.
Yeah.
So, just trying to see if we can tempt fate. Peter seems a lovely guy from all the things I've,
yeah.
All the circulation of news and fans and.
Ian says the last thing he needs is some sweaty nerd hassling him.
Put some deodorant on. Good save. I don't know. That would be kind of fun. So, Christian?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Is this likely to happen?
If it doesn't happen,
yeah.
In the next couple of minutes, then we won't do it.
Okay, so, I mean, have I convinced anyone that Adventures of Time is any good?
I watch it, yeah.
So if we can get to watch it, that would be kind of cool. I really want you to see it now, because you've never seen it.
Yeah.
I mean, you'll be seeing it hard... 1.5 times speed, but then you've got to think that you've wasted less of your life watching, which is kind of good. Has anyone got any Doctor Who episodes which they would like to take out of canon, or they do not consider canon because it's so bad and Time and Rani? Anyone got any?
Oh, sorry, I explained canon.
Okay. Canon, yes. Yeah, so what is considered official continuity, sort of taken obviously from religious canon and given to people who are far more fanatical. So anyone got any show or ones they would like to remove or they think are terrible? Hello, the back there. Hello. Any no? Time Lash, no? You want to put things in? Oh, I like this. You're actually doing my job for me. Come on.
Pretty much all the Big Finish.
All the Big Finish?
Yeah.
I mean, technically, is all the Big Finish kind of in since Night of the Doctor when you have the... Anyone else Big Finish fan? Yeah? Yeah, anyone else? Silence? Big Finish are... They have a load of their stuff on Spotify. So you can actually listen to them for free on Spotify. Obviously, you have the ads and the questions of whether Spotify. Oh, I'm not going to go into that, but the fact is, you can see. Have you got it?
No.
You've not got it?
No. I don't know what happened. I downloaded it. I've downloaded loads of things. You know, I've got a clip of the Night of the Doctor, just, you know, because Paul McCartney came in. You know, I've got clips of Doctor Who video games.
Well, that's disappointing.
It is, I know, I realise that. I'm disappointed myself.
Is there any Big Finish one that you think should definitely be in? Is there a Big Finish one that you think people should listen to?
The David Tennant Chronicles. Because they have just like episodes just on audio and class, because that should be
Oh, class! Is anyone a fan of class? That's a hard sell there.
Well, the reason we were going to talk about Dimension in Time and do commentary was this thing that sprung up a few weeks ago regarding watching classic episodes at 1.5 speed. And whether or not whether it's actually practical, whether you're actually going to be able to take anything in. So we thought what we would do was play it. Obviously, that hasn't worked out. But I mean, has anyone here watched any episode, classic or modern, at 1.5 speed?
Do you have any classic episodes on you at what?
What, right now?
Yeah. Or anything we could put on 1.5 speed?
Yes, possibly, yes.
It's got time.
Have we?
Yeah. You want to do 1.5 speed? What have you got?
Hold on.
What have you got? I'm going to have a look for that.
Well, basically, we've got ones of some saying you're going to so, hold on.
Oh, I don't know. Live stuff.
We could just move on to the next item.
Would you like, have you got a live, have you got an episode we could put on live?
Yeah.
So this new idea that they were slow, and that by playing 1.5 speed they feel a bit more modern.
It's basically just take up time, is that right, Mike, Christian?
To save time in these three, yeah. That's basically what's going on.
Okay, so while we're waiting to do that, we'll talk about something else. I think we'll talk about, and we'll try and do, well, I hope this is a positive thing. We have a new doctor. I don't know, maybe it's a dangerous place to go, but I think we can do this constructively. How are people feeling about the new doctor? Is everyone excited? Can we have hands up if you're excited? That's good. I'm really pleased. That's nice. Was anyone uncomfortable initially? Did anyone feel, and we're sort of initially not now, and I think that's entirely fine. I mean, I think every doctor has always had people feeling uncomfortable initially. Is there anyone who felt a bit uncomfortable originally? Yeah? Okay, good. Yeah. Do you want to sort of tell me why that has changed?
I think it's partly just a traditional thing, and I did feel a bit disappointed at the time, back to the social media thing, how anyone that sort of voiced any remotest disquiet about it kind of got really jumped on
right.
in what felt like a really kind of excessively PC way, and I just thought that was really unfair and intolerant, and that bothered me. And I think Peter Davison came off Twitter for a while because he said, which I felt was a reasonable point, was worried about boys losing a male role model, and you can argue about that what you like. It's a fair, reasonable point, I felt, but he just got slated. I think Ed Miliband on his Radio 2 show said, oh, this is the doctor from the 1950s, so you know, he just thought, oh, come on.
Yeah.
So I think it was that sort of move that was around at the time. It's nothing against her, I totally wish her well, and I do feel excited to see what they've done with it, because it does at least mean that for the first time since it came back, I think, in the 2000s, I genuinely don't know what to expect from the next series. I don't know how it's going to look, how it's going to feel, stories, none of it. So
it's a brilliant point. It's a brilliant point. I really like that because I think we have natural resistance, and when things change, I just realised we've got this camera pointing at us, and it's just at an empty screen. But I think that's really.
Oh, it's disconnected from the internet.
This is disconnected, has it?
The internet
is disconnected.
Great.
I think that's.
Oh, bless it.
Bless his little cotton socks. I think that is interesting. I mean, I'll be honest, and I said this on a podcast before, when I first heard of it, when I was disappointed, and it was less to do with it being a female doctor. It was more my concern about how men tend to write women, especially women main characters. And I'd seen in more recent Doctor Who's, maybe, and I'm not going to name any episodes, where I kind of felt all the time that the question of when it women tends to be about having to be what men perceived women were about. So we'd always be talking about things like, do you know what I mean? Do I need to explain this? It kind of... my worst example in Doctor Who, I think, of recent Doctor Who, was Amy Pond when she had her child. And rather than actually... And then sort of like the doctor's like, oh, don't worry, it's been stolen, I'll go and find her. And she was kind of like, yeah, all right, cool, if I just give you a call now and then, that'd be all right. And I'll just keep on touching. When you find it, let me know. I was like, a mother would not be like that. A mother would not do that. A mother would be like, I'm getting in that TARDIS, you're staying out here, I'll go and find my child. And it was none of that. It was the male hero who had to go and save. It was the white knight thing. And I've always had that concern, and again, it's not that specific writer, it's across writing and television. Women are always written from a sort of very much a male perspective. It's always about, you know, and you could just imagine what. So that was my concern, was would they write this character as a doctor rather than sort of seeing it as a, what has this got, for, what is different about this to a man playing it, rather than what is this person. So I'm like getting a feeling that's not going to be the case, so I'm feeling much more on board. I'm really happy about it. I'm kind of optimistic.
Okay.
What do you got?
We've got Pyramid of Mars Episode 3.
Pyramid of Mars Episode 3?
Yeah.
So we're going to try and do this at...
This is already set to go at 1.5 speed. Now what you'll notice is that there is some clipping in the dialogue. Things will move a lot quicker. You should be able to work things out. Well, I mean, we'll all take back.
Has everyone seen Pyramid of Mars? Are you all familiar now? Is there anyone there? Okay, this is perhaps one of the most classic and revered episodes of Doctor Who, which you've not seen it before, but you're now going to ruin, not only because it's part three, but also because it's going to be at a speed that you should never have to see it at. But I think it's kind of fun. Is it kind of fun?
We'll find out. So it starts Tom Baker and Elizabeth Sladen.
So let's play it, and we'll talk through it. I'll hand the mic around. If you've got ideas, we'll just raise your hand and I'll bring it over and we can talk about it as a team. Because the new Doctor Who is all about teams, by the looks of it. Which I like as well. I like the idea there's multiple companions. I think that's fun. One thing I never liked was, I think Terence Dix used to always say that you only need one companion to sort of say. Bless her. Oh, we've got Michael Beard.
That was like Benny Hill, wasn't it?
It wasn't. It was like
Benny Hill. Marvellous.
I'm so glad that Philip's coming after this. He's coming now to see the episode.
No, it's okay.
It done in such quality.
So this is 1.5 speed using the VLC player, which will do that for you, which is a free big stopper. So anyone can watch Doctor Who 1.5.
I mean, it's a shame because this is such a beautifully paced episode.
Yes.
And the tone is so perfect.
Yes.
Unless it's at 1.5 speed.
And then it suddenly becomes comical, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Look at the speed yes. They're going.
I mean,
totally. Well, partially that. I'm also waiting for the giant Dougal to turn up as well.
I mean, this is a pretty bit, isn't it? Because the Doctor actually puts on a mummy's object.
Yes.
And it is actually Tom, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
Which I don't think you get in many programmes. Is the same Michael Sheen, known for everything.
Playing Hitler.
He played Hitler.
Did he die in Empire Strikes Back?
Yes, he does, yes. He's disappointed Vader for the last time.
That's right, he does, yeah.
Yes. But I mean, he appears in many Doctor Who's. I think this is one of his best appearances. He's good in Remembrance of the Daleks as the head teacher.
He is very good, yeah. Playing on his already famous Ron Granger.
Not Hitler.
Not Hitler, no. Although not too far.
Yeah, he did play Hitler a few times, Michael. I think he played more than once.
Yeah, there's a BBC Two movie.
He was in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade. Last Crusade, yeah. Wasn't he? Yeah. Him and Hitler.
Like that. So, we're already in the film. We're already 5.5 minutes through. Well, we've only been talking 2-3 minutes, and it should only last sort of like 17 minutes, I think. Okay. This is a very tense moment, normally.
Ridiculous.
Yeah,
fascinating when you have things that were produced in 1975 for a television schedule, so they were done up at time, at a certain top, and you were just trying to get something out. And you get something out which is kind of good, you feel relaxed and relieved, and that's great. You have no idea that in 40 years' time, people are going to be playing at 1.5 speed in front of an audience in a pub in Manchester. It's, I don't know, it kind of feels abusive. But in a good way.
Just while we are watching, I do want you all to bear in mind how much you're enjoying this as it goes through, and then at the end we will gather your opinion on whether or not you think this is a worthwhile endeavour watching Doctor Who 1.5 speed.
I find it's a lot harder because we've done commentaries on podcasts before.
Yeah.
And it's a lot harder than if you actually watch 1.5 speed. Sutek's one of the great ones. He's one of those characters which everyone always thinks coming back for some reason. You get at the beginning of the season, and there'll be some big monster or something. Is that going to be Sutek? Really? He's in one episode. One or four episodes. Yeah, what is quite good about this episode? I could be wrong, I need to check it, but I think I was born when this episode was aired.
Really?
I think it's October 1975.
Right.
I think.
Wow.
There we go. There's no way Tom would fit in that.
It's actually quite the design, isn't it?
It is, absolutely. And it's a lovely mixture of location and studio. I think you get a lovely blend in these.
Yeah.
But I think something Doctor Who does really well is when it does manage to get a lot of outside location. When you get that English countryside in there, it don't know, it always...
Well, this is something that's always interested me. It's possibly a good question for the listener. Who can tell the difference between film exterior and video interior? Yeah.
It could be an age thing.
It could be an age thing. It could also be a thing from watching Doctor Who as well. I think, you know, a few months later there is the Siege of Doom, which is all video.
Yeah.
The external stuff, the location stuff, all on video. But here, clearly, the external material is recorded in film.
Yeah. And Planet of Evil, which was...
Same season.
Beginning of the season, was it? Or was this the beginning of the season? This is the beginning of the season.
Right, okay.
Planet of Evil comes after. I mean, you've got a lot of film. Is it L3 they record that?
Yeah.
There's a lot of that analog mixing. And it looks brilliant in film. Which is a shame because I think so much of where Doctor Who doesn't look very good is because it's done in studio. But when you get those bits where you see it done in L3 in a film like in Planet of Evil, it looks absolutely great.
Yeah.
And it's a, I mean, even there, you know, the brightness on their faces, the harshness of the lighting, it takes away from the story.
There is a kind of flatness to it, isn't there?
There's a Twitter account called Making Blade 7, and they put up yesterday, which I really liked, a Paul Darrow, who played Abel in Blade 7, I don't know if you guys remember him, he said that Blade 7 only suffered from people trying to classify it as cadot. So sort of genre which is sort of not quite adult, it's sort of for kids, which adults get into. And I always wonder whether that a lot to do is to do with production values. Because, I mean, this story, if you had this all done on film, and you had it done in quality, I mean, okay, it has a Hammer horror feel to it, but it wouldn't really have that, would it be considered cadot? Even though it was technically made for families. But do you know what I mean? Do production values actually change people's perception of whether something's meant for adults?
Well, I mean, that's the age-old question, is Doctor Who for grown-ups or is it for children?
Well, I mean, Blade 7, which to me, you could practically say the same argument, was had some very heavy adult stories.
I think older children.
But I was thinking back in the, I don't know if people are old enough to remember, back in the 70s and 80s, whether they felt that science fiction on television was ever really made for adults? Or was there something, did it have that feeling that you couldn't? Does anyone have any feelings on that? Does anyone want to interject? Do I see it? What? I see two hands.
1950s, you're going to that.
Let's go to the back.
BBC did quite enough in the 1950s, and that was strictly for adults.
Yes.
And they
had adult audience. I think Doctor Who, which comes along 64,
because they had that warning in the beginning, didn't they? That you had a nervous disposition. And it was quite eerie, but I think that's. I mean, the only other one I can think of beyond that, bar maybe The Prisoner, is perhaps Sapphire and Steel, which was ITV, and that went out at 9 p.m, so it was very clearly for Adam and Fred us.
Gage's going to a different one. You need a bit of water.
Ah. See, there we are, Tom Baker as a mummy. that is very Tom Baker, isn't it? I can't remember how this episode ended. It was crazy to have it on the omnibus. You remember the omnibus packs in the 80s?
Yes.
And they sort of do the whole thing and they take out all the breaks.
Yeah.
So it was really hard to work out sometimes where the actual cliffhanger was.
Mm. Yeah, there was a few of those. I had one. Oh, it was a Time Warrior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating the way they did that. When Doctor Who came out originally on VHS, on video for those who don't know, they came out for like 90 minutes. Feature length, they took out all the intros and outros. And it was interesting they did that, thinking that's what people would want. And then very quickly they realised that people didn't want that. They wanted to view the material as if they were viewing it as they would live in the 70s or the 80s.
Yeah.
And that was part of the viewing, which I think again becomes very interesting when we talk about what is important to people watching shows and re-watching shows. Those intros and outros are critical.
Yeah.
They set you up, they give you the vibe. I mean, does anyone fast forward? I mean, I must admit, yeah, I tend to fast forward over them sometimes, but...
I don't, personally. I might be persuaded to by people that I'm watching to.
Does anyone watch all the Doctor Who's on DVD one a week? So if they've got the, like, their four parts, does anyone actually have the ability to watch them one a week? Anyone done that? One a day? Anyone done that? Yeah? Oh, well, yeah, there we go. So that's... Why, I'm going to go to the back and ask while that's still playing. Why did you do that? Why? Why did you do it?
Because I think it's great to look back on old Doctor Who instead of the new Doctor Who, because I think new Doctor Who is like a solid ground. The old ones are quite on that side, but it's all show and everything.
So, do you... So, I mean, because obviously, I'm getting guess you're not 47. So, are you trying to see it as it would be watched at the time? Are you trying to sort of feel what it would be like to watch that Doctor Who back in the 70s by watching them by episodes? Is that...
Yeah,
I think so. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, respect. Respect.
Respect. Oh, sorry.
Can I add something? Because I've been watching them in order as well. Yes. So I've worked like through William Hathaway and the soundtrack ones as well. And it, because when I first started watching them, you don't get my videos, so it's not out of order. If you watch them in order, you can actually see the Doctor's development, which is quite interesting.
She's been the biggest Doctor. What have you so far? Oh, how far did you say Doctor so far?
I haven't watched the Doctor's out of order. So, well, it was probably the longest, biggest number of episodes, actually.
You think he's not the biggest development?
He does, but he softens. I think we all know he softens. But it also becomes really obvious that when he ends up with so many new companions trying to replace Susan.
Yes. Yes.
Which I don't think when you watch the individual videos or DVDs now, you get that, but if you watch it in order, it's so obvious that he spends his whole time trying to replace Susan, I think.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Replacing Susan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah. So, we've got to the end of the episode, and...
He tries to even replace Ian, doesn't he? With Stephen.
Yeah.
He never tries to replace Barbara.
No, that's interesting.
Yeah. Perhaps very green home.
Maybe she's out doing it with it, isn't she? So we've got to the end, so 1.5 speed, Doctor Who. If you most of you think never done that before, if not all of you, did you enjoy it first of all?
It's funny.
It is funny, yeah. It is very funny. Is it? I mean, do you feel that is
a constructive way, or, you know, is constructive the right word? It's not the right word, but is it?
Pointless.
Is
it just pointless?
Did anyone feel it was a way that was worth the time of getting through Doctor Who quickly?
No.
Yeah, I don't understand it at all.
Is this something that people do a lot then?
Apparently, it happens, yeah.
It's weird. Yeah. I mean, I just thought we were doing it for lack of time, even as people actually went to do this.
Yeah. I mean, it doesn't have to be that. I mean, there's different ways of doing it. As I said, use VLC, but you can watch stuff on YouTube at fast speed. Let's move on.
What's next?
What's next is.
Just a reminder for you, dear listener, that various guests were in attendance at VorpCon, and James and myself were able to speak to a few big names in the green room, including Philip Martin and Stephen Gallagher, both 1980s era Doctor Who writers, and one of television's greatest directors, Graham Harper. We will be bringing you snippets from those interviews in the main podcast in coming weeks. However, if you wish to enjoy the full interviews, then we would urge you to sign up to our Patreon, which you will find at www.patreon.com/Doctor Who Podcast. And remember, stick a K in there instead of the C. Okay, back to the podcast live.
Well, we were going to talk about video games.
What else could we do? Did anyone play Doctor Who video games?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Anyone else play? No one really plays Doctor Who video games, it's interesting.
They're not incredibly popular.
John,
what game have you played?
I remember there were two on the DS that I played.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
That's me.
Yeah.
For sure. They were fun but difficult.
Okay, anyone else, has anyone playing? I mean, because we talked about there was the Infinity.
There's the Doctor Infinity, which is new PC, Mac, and Android and iPhone game from the Doctor Who Legacy team, which is quite recently, which is a fun game. Which is just basically a dual puzzler with a strategy element. Which is very good, and it's got some great writers. We spoke to Gary Russell, didn't we? And some other people.
Well, we talked to George. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was interesting because while they were doing a video game there, which, and we're not trying to promote it, it's just something maybe you might want to look into. They felt that when they did Legacy, wasn't it?
The previous one,
Legacy, which was very much driven by the duels,
yeah,
playing the actual game. The ludology was the key thing. While this one was about the narrative, this new one, because they think people want the story. And so they tried to make canon stories, which the games sort of sit in between.
That's right.
Which are kind of interesting. So it might be something worth looking at.
Yeah.
I mean, we've looked at video games quite a bit, because it's quite interesting for Doctor Who, because they're largely rubbish.
It's true.
I mean, I was involved in making the Matt Smith Wii game, which I think Nintendo voted the worst game of the year. Which, you know, I'm number one. there is an interesting, how do you make Doctor Who into a video game? Does anyone have any feelings on how they would like to see Doctor Who as a video game? Oh, someone in the back, I'm going to go and run to the back.
Can you turn this on?
Two people in the back.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you guys play them, but I think it's Telltale Games do like Walking Dead and things like that. I think Doctor Who would be better for like a narrative-driven game like that, because obviously you're not going to make a Doctor Who game where it goes around murdering everybody, because that just doesn't fit the character. Something like that, where you have to make decisions that come back later in the day. You save someone, do they betray you in the future? I think that'd be perfect.
Was there someone like you guys there?
I think, maybe something like Bethesda, where you can customize your character, maybe like you could create your own Doctor Who. What he's actually
going to
do in this.
Oh, very nice. That's brilliant.
I mean, there's lots of ways that they could do Doctor Who games, and really, the only ones that have really been successful away from the mobile world is the Lego Dimensions Doctor Who app, which is a superb experience. If you've got a PS4 or an Xbox or
You probably haven't got a Wii U, but even if you did. No Gun Mission is a great game. You can get the Doctor Who pack and you can have a lot of Doctor Who themed fun. It is good. Let's move on, shall we?
Yes.
To Season 19 box set versus Season 12 box set.
Okay, yeah, I remember you saying this. So how do you want to play this one?
I thought we could throw it over, open to the audience. Because we've got the Season 12 Blu-ray box set, obviously, and there's the Season 19 Blu-ray box set coming. And it's not out yet, is it? Season 19 box set?
No.
No, I don't think so. So, there is, you know, Season 19, I'm a big Tom Baker fan. I would probably count Tom Baker as my number one Doctor, followed by probably Pershing, probably then Tennant. But I'm more interested in the Season 19 box set. So have they chosen the wrong series to issue on Blu-ray?
Oh. What did you think, listener?
Anybody thoughts on that?
Any opinions?
Oh, I mean, so. I'll let you go again.
I think there's maybe something about kind of timing in the sense that Season 12, that the fact probably is that if you're going to get Tom Baker to talk in detail about Season 12 or whichever season, you're going to have to do it fairly promptly. That's just, you know, not to be morbid, but so I think that's maybe part of it. And also the fact that he does still have that cachet, doesn't he, and the scarf, you know, by and large, when certainly older people think of Doctor Who, chances are they think of Tom Baker. So I think it, in sales terms, it probably makes sense.
Because that's kind of worrying, isn't it? We were saying again this the other day with Gareth when we were planning for this, that our cache, as you put it, of sort of empirical history or of people who are around at the time is naturally getting less. And it's to find new stuff and to find new ways of getting new stuff to feed our hungry, needy, becomes difficult.
And there's, I don't know if everyone's watched it, but there's some quite melancholy moments on it, the Season 12, like when they do the Gogglebox bit where they get Tom and put a pinch of it to watch the old episodes and stuff, and that you can tell Tom Baker, it's kind of a moment where he says, oh, this is quite sad for us, Philip, isn't it? So watching these old friends and we can't, you know, they're alive in front of us now, and we can't see them, and that there's something quite, let's say, quite melancholy about it, really, that these faces from, you know, their past and our childhoods, if you like, they're gone, and, you know, it would have been so lovely if a box set like that, if we'd had, say, Ian Marta around, or Robert Holmes, you know, you imagine what they could have said, and, you know.
Or even have the technology to do it. Back in the realisation that
I mean, I think Ian Marta, folks I know, played Harry Sullivan. I think was a massive loss to lose him, because I mean, he was very engaged, smart, witty. Losing him so early in his life, 42, I think it was. I think that'd be lovely to have had him and see what he'd said. I mean, I know they've used William Russell a lot, but I always adore having that really old, you know, what, again, it's that horrible morbid feeling. It's like, while these people are still able to do this, you know, we need to tap into it as much as we can. I know that sounds so merciless and cruel as a human being, but just historically speaking, if we're talking pragmatic, historical, and television is important historically, I think that's another thing. Yeah. People go, well, it's just television, don't be so rude, it's just a television act. But these people have a massive significance to, like, you know, 1,000 people in this convention. You know, these people have a meaning to us, and that's how we explore that meaning, is through these people and what they say and what they know. And
it's a visual situation. Version of recording your grandmother's recollections.
Absolutely. And we don't know these people personally, so we'd be wrong to go, well, I'm missing person because I don't know him. But for what that person has brought to us as a culture, I can sort of see that getting people while they're still around is really... culturally important, even if it sounds a bit crass. I think you're totally right.
Okay, quick follow then. So, it's Christmas morning. You haven't got either box set. Which one do you want it to be? Do you want it to be Season 12 or Season 19? Hands up to Season 12.
Season 12 being the first Tom Baker season, if you don't
know. Yeah, big part of it. And Season 19 being the first... Is it first?
Yeah.
First season. Yeah. Season 19.
Oh, that's interesting. Interesting, because I thought Season 12, is it? 12, isn't it? Yeah. Would get less because it's had so much saturation.
Yeah.
whenever BBC roll out a repeat, it's always Genesis of the Daleks. Yeah, you know, exactly. Ark in Space is one of the first ones to come out.
Which is marvellous, but it's been out on DVD so many times already, hasn't it?
But people would still rather have that as a box set than watch Time Flight.
When you put it like that.
I mean, I love his first season. It's what I grew up with, so I'd rather have the... I was going to call it the Adric season. I'd rather have the Adric season.
The Adric years.
The Adric years.
So this is
what. Why do you think
they
did that? Are we
going to
get Colin Baker's first season next?
That might be one they want to put on the back burner. No, I think... I mean, we didn't want to see Colin's first season. I mean, have we got... I mean, Colin's... So, we've got Colin Baker's first season was Twin Dilemma, Attack of the Cybermen.
Two Doctors.
But, I mean, has it got, I mean, because none of you listen to Big Finish, do you? So, none of you have followed Colin, well, but I mean, he's brilliant in the Big Finish plays.
Yeah.
So, it's really an issue of the production rather than, and there's loads of pressures at the time.
Sure.
But, yeah, so I think Colin... I think it would be interesting.
It'd be interesting, yeah.
And maybe people would find things in it now that perhaps with time.
Well, that would be beneficial, wouldn't it? I think you're probably right. Yeah.
Right?
You had your hand up before.
Sorry, I was just. I've not watched a lot of him.
Yeah.
No, Shakara. But talking about the DVD, you saying, oh, like, this one's been released so many times before, or I'm talking about collecting like people's memories of the show. Do you not think instead of release? Re-releasing DVDs and stuff, and I know like it's Blu-ray and the technology's getting better, but you don't think it should just be more about let's get some interviews with these guys? I think that'll sell a lot better.
Yeah,
I think that's. I think first of all, that's a great point, and I think it comes back to the fact that as fans of the show, as we are, as keen to know about the show as well.
This is a Beyond Casterbrews podcast, available on iTunes, Audio Boom, Stitcher.com, Player FM, and BeyondCasterbrews.com.
Why would you rewatch it?
It'll be released as a podcast later in the week as well. James is back at 2 o'clock on the Troutman stage, speaking to...
Philip Hinchcliffe, who I think is somewhere nearby, but...
And you can also catch him shortly as well.
Yeah, I think he's hanging on this.
He's here with us.
Next.
That's right.
Thank you for putting up with us. I hope you've enjoyed it. We'll be around all day. You can just come up and say hello. And we can have a chat.
Yep, definitely.
But thank you.
Until then, thank you, dear listener. Thank you.